Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1, and then skipping over to verse 15 and following. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. And then, and starting at verse 15, when one of those who sat at table heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for all is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I pray you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. I pray you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" So the servant came and reported this to his master. Then the householder, in anger, said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and maimed and blind and lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the understandings of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, are you planning a big barbecue for Labor Day? If so, you will send out invitations and receive confirmations from your guests. You will call out, "Come to the feast." But suppose that on Labor Day, around noon, these good friends of yours call up one after another and give excuses, and you end up with a bountiful picnic set up at the outdoor grill, bursting with ribs and chicken and steak, but nobody comes. What would you do? That's the situation of today's parable as told by Luke. Let me put this parable in modern dress like this. A politician gives a fundraising banquet in a great hall downtown, to which many important guests have been invited. But when the day of the great event arrives, none of the guests come. They all make excuses, plausible excuses, and beg off, sending donations instead. So what does the politician do? He has been rejected by his friends and peers and relatives. He has an impulse to react with great force. He's angry. How dare these ungrateful invitees snub him? He'll deal with them later. But what does he do about the feast right now? About the food on the table growing cold? The politician looks around and takes action. He sends his whole staff out into the streets, the markets, the underpasses, the parking lots, and tells them to bring everyone they find to come into the banquet hall and enjoy the feast. This great leader calls out, "Come to the feast." And the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame respond. Street people, day laborers, homeless, and the unwashed, they flock to the banquet hall until every seat is taken. They hear the call, "Come to the feast," and they respond. Strange story, isn't it? A most peculiar parable. How shall we step into this parable? This parable of the feast offers us two roles with which we can identify: the invited guests and the slave or messenger. Let's consider the invited guests. The invited guests of the great leader turned him down. They made excuses. One was closing on a real estate bargain. One could not leave his farm animals unattended, and one even blamed getting married. Could we do any better than they did? Are we listening to this invitation, or are we saying, you don't know what you're talking about. I've got my business to attend to. I've got to live my life. And I'll do church the same old way, if you don't mind, because it fits me very well. Can we hear the call? Come to the feast. After all, this is God calling to us. Now let's consider this, the role of the slave or messenger in this parable. The parable says little about the slave messenger. Rather, the focus is on the mission, to take the message to everyone, insiders and outsiders alike. The food is ready and you are invited. Come to the feast. When the great leader's original guests reject him, he doesn't sit home and suck his thumb. Instead, he sends out his messenger and compels people, the marginalized, the dispossessed, the unglamorous, the street people. He insists that they come to his dinner party. He knows who those people are, and he knows where they are. His messenger can find them and bring them to the feast. But unlike the messenger of that great leader, we are generally ignorant about our own society. Insulated in our middle-class world, we do not know, perhaps we do not want to know, where the marginalized, the poor, the dispossessed are. Such people are invisible to most of us. We go about our sanitized lives assured by the filtered information from the media that everyone of any importance is just like us. We travel in our steel cocoons, insulated from everyone else who is traveling, and we spend what little free time we have with people of our own choosing, whether family or friends or entertainment. We have little or no contact with those who are less privileged than we are. So where do we fit in this parable? If you're like me, I don't want to identify with the cold-hearted religious establishment of Jesus' day. I want to identify with the messenger in Jesus' parable, the servant who goes out and brings in the dispossessed, the disabled, the disenfranchised to fill the seats at the table. I want to be in service for this new kingdom. Don't you? So, let's go out and bring them in. But, wait a minute. First, can we handle the job? The messenger in this parable was mistreated. In the Matthew version, he gets even more mistreated than he does here in the Luke version. He was snubbed, rejected, and told to mind his own business. Do we have the guts, the discipline, to carry out this mission? Second, do we know where to go to find the people who live on the margins in our area? Have we visited the prisoners, the elderly, the mentally ill, the migrants? Are we willing to get acquainted with them well enough so that we can invite them to God's dinner party without embarrassing either us or them? In Jesus' time, those people were very evident, living on the street, sitting on the street corners, waiting for somebody to give them a day job. They were marginalized then because the elites in society would grab land and throw the farmers out of their homes and property. Landless farmers would wander the streets looking for day work to feed their families. The globalization of Jesus' day produced these surplus people. Today, we cannot find these people easily. They are not featured on our televisions. Do you know where those people are in Westfield? Admit it, we hesitate. We are afraid. We are threatened by the thought of becoming involved with those who are so needy. But yet, these people are our neighbors. We need courage to go out into the highways and byways, the parking lots and union halls and job fairs and bus stops and food pantries, and connect with those of our neighbors who are the dispossessed, the disenfranchised, the disconnected. But you say, we are doing so much here already in Westfield. We have our VBS, we have our Celtic Service, we have our Presbyterian Women, we have our education groups, our food pantry, and so on it goes. So hear from the preacher in the book of Hebrews. By the way, the book of Hebrews is an extended sermon. Read it one sometime all the way through and see if you could sit through a sermon that long. But anyway, from the book of Hebrews, this preacher empathizes with us completely. He knows about our history, our great cloud of witnesses. You have over 200 years of that here in Westfield. And urges us to ever more creative mission efforts. He urges us to accept even greater discipline so as to endure the upheavals that come when you take a strong stand for justice. And he calls out to us, be bold and let the gospel of Jesus' faithfulness lift our drooping hands and strengthen our weak knees. Let us hear the call from the preacher in Hebrews and from the parable of the feast. Let us be messengers for our great leader, Jesus Christ, and bring all sorts of people to the great feast. And then, when we have done as he has asked, let us set up a great table, break bread with everyone from near and far, and share together the bounty of God's feast. Let us bring out the best tablecloth and the best wines. Let us celebrate the good news that we share. Jesus, our faithful Savior, has brought us the victory. Come, step into this parable. Come to the feast. Amen.